But he may not believe it in himself, though, correct?
Well, I get them out of his books.
Okay.
Let's say, many scholars today, the way they argue is the way I'm doing it right here. They'll
sure.
say something like this. They'll say, let's put these 20 pieces on the table and see where this gets us. And I'll say, well, you know, 20's nice, but I only need a dozen. And it's not a different dozen. These dozen are a dozen of his 20. And then I'll say, you know what, let's just cut the list down to 4 to 7, and I'll use these 7. And I think I can basically make a decent case for the resurrection based on 7.
Well, let's do that. Work it on me, Dr. Sure. Habermas. Come on, let's do this then. Let's go ahead.
All right, you want me to read a list of 12 to you?
Give it to me, yes.
Okay, I'm reading this out of one of my books.
All right.
And notice, none of these per se are supernatural. Obviously, because an atheistic New Testament professor is not going to grant me something like that. So, all right, here are my 12. Want me to just read them all?
Sure. In fact, many people in the room are waiting, too. They can't wait for this.
All right, good enough. Number one, Jesus died due to crucifixion. 2, he was buried. And notice I keep that very, very general. So if John Dominic
sure.
Crossan says, yeah, they threw him in a hole.
Right. And again, ladies and gentlemen, we're assuming that some of these facts, some of these ideas are true. So let's go with that. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I'll make it stronger than that. Very few of these are disputed by contemporary scholars by the definition of scholarship I gave earlier.
Okay. All right.
Number 3, his disciples doubted and despaired after Jesus died. They doubted and despaired because they thought that was the end of their life. I mean, one of the Gospels has them going back.
I can agree with that. David Koresh, we saw right there.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It's a good psychological fact. How could you lose the most important thing in your life and not be disappointed 2 days later?
Sure.
Okay, fourthly, now this is the only one in the 12 that I dropped from about 95% agreement down to about 70% agreement. This is the only one that's not as well agreed to as the others.
I knew there had to be one.
There is one. There's one.
There's a bridge we must cross.
Right.
Mm-hmm,
the
sure.
tomb in which Jesus was buried was discovered to be empty a few days later.
That's
now,
possible.
There's nothing supernatural about that.
Right.
In fact, I'm looking at a book right here on my shelf by an historian who says when you subject the empty tomb, this guy's a skeptic. In fact, he tries to make fun of Paul and disprove the whole thing to Paul and everything. But he says, on good historical grounds, he said the empty tomb is a fact of history. So I'll tell you what, this is just an aside, a footnote, but Lee Strobel, in his famous book, Case for Christ, he starts out one of the chapters by saying a little girl who was killed in the Civil Rights Movement was buried, and when her family got permission to go back and exhume the body and rebury it in another cemetery, they got the casket out, and the casket was empty. And in other words, whatever happened, she wasn't buried there. And Lee's specific point was, empty caskets, empty tombs don't require resurrections. So even that point, I'm only making the point that that's
I agree with you totally. I mean, there could have been some other explanation for how
tons of explanations how a body could disappear.
Yes.
Exactly. The next one, next to the crucifixion of Jesus, the next one is the one that virtually everybody will grant you. And it goes like this. Watch my wording.
Sure.
The disciples had real experiences that they believed were actual appearances of the risen Jesus. They had an experience that they said was a resurrection appearance. Now, I can step in as a skeptic and I can say, yeah, right, you loser. You're wrong, but I will grant you that you think you saw Jesus.
Or at least people told us that they thought that they saw
the
risen Jesus.
That's
at least that they heard that this was the case.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm.
6, this turned their lives around to the point where they were being willing to die for their proclamation. I don't think, I always tell my students, don't ever get yourself in a hook and say, well, you prove Thaddeus died. I don't want to prove any one case. I just want to say they put themselves in harm's way for this message. 7,
okay.
The gospel message was preached in Jerusalem. That's where the first message, it started in Jerusalem. 8, this gospel that I defined earlier, the deity, death, resurrection of Jesus, it was the center of their proclamation. So when you ask me,
sure,
why do I go here and not somewhere else? Because it's the center of preaching.
Understood.
9, the church began founded on these teachings. 10, the day of worship was Sunday, and that was kind of strange because a lot of the people who joined the church in the early days were
Sol
Jews,
Invictus.
And they worshiped on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
11, James, Jesus' previously skeptical brother, an unbeliever, was converted when, and notice my words again, when he believed that he saw the risen Jesus. And then number 12, the same thing for Paul. Paul, a leader of the persecution against the church, was also converted by what he believed was an appearance of the risen Jesus.
Okay. I notice a lot of your later points obviously are for debate as well.
We can chat about them if you want. But I mean, even a guy like Garrett Ludeman or John Dominic Crossan or those guys, the vast majority of scholars will grant that Paul and James were both skeptics until they at least thought that they met the risen Jesus. So they'll give you that's those guys' beliefs. You can always talk about a person's beliefs.
Right. Yeah. Paul. He saw a vision much later. Right. He saw a vision of the.
Yeah, scholars dated about 2 to 3 years after the cross.
Oh,
2 to 3 years after the crucifixion.
That's interesting. I thought that there have been arguments. Well, you've been looking at the literature. Are there other scholars that think much later?
Every once in a while, you read somebody that says 4 years.
But nothing like 10, 20, 30?
Oh, no.
No?
Uh-uh.
Okay.
No, now, when we're saying that, if I'm the skeptic and you're asking me this, I'm going to say, now, Reggie, remember, this is when Paul thinks it happened to him.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So in other words, I'll read the point again.
Understood.
Paul, a leader of the persecution, was converted by what he believed to be a resurrection event.
Understood. Okay.
Right. And then I'll go back and I'll, out of that dozen, I'll weed, let's say, seven.
Of course he could be wrong.
Who could be wrong?
Paul.
Oh, yeah. All of these facts.
Okay.
All right. Notice I'm couching the facts in terms of what the data say. A person can always step in there and say, now, Paul thought that, but let me tell you why I think Paul was mistaken.
Of
sure,
course,
a person can always do that.
He got knocked in the head, had epilepsy,
had a sunstroke.
Yes.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Wish fulfillment.
All right.
You know, you can say whatever
Now, I'm trying to figure out, even if I follow everything you just said,
right,
I still don't see how that would in any way prove or at least give strong evidence for a resurrection event. I'm trying to figure out how did that follow? How did that flow? I know what people believe, but how does that prove that?
By the way, the move you just made, I don't know how to show it's a fact, but I can show people believe that. That's precisely the move I'm making when I talk about the disciples Paul and James. It's what they believe happened. One note, I don't know if this helps you or not. One note, when you said, I don't know how this proves the resurrection or even gives good reasons for the resurrection. Of those two choices, just for the record, I would never argue that the resurrection is proven in some sort of scientific dictum or apodictic certainty. When I say I think I can argue that the resurrection is the best explanation for the events, I'm talking probability. So that's an important case to make it. And so, so you know, you raise a very important question. You go, okay, well, even if, this is you,
mm-hmm.
even if I was going to be a good guy and give you these 12, and I'm not sure where I am there, but even if I'm a good guy and I give you these 12, I think you're a mile away from the resurrection.
Right.
Okay. Well, I think what these 12 do, and the seven are of these 12, so they're the same ones.
Right.
I think what these do is if you said to me, let's just say Jesus didn't die on the cross. Let's just say the disciples were lying. Let's just say Paul was a victim of wish fulfillment. The point is, whenever you come up with one of these naturalistic alternative theories,
mm-hmm.
there are checks and balances in this list. I'm not going to run back and quote, well, don't you know, Reggie, the Bible's inspired. I don't do that. So I'll stay in this list, or when I say stay in this list, either stay on these specific 12 or the data that give us these 12. Stay right there.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, well, what would happen if, for the sake of the argument, let's say you and I got to be really good buddies, and over a bunch of football games, we discussed 20 alternative theories.
Sure.
And let's just say, for the sake of the argument, what if these dozen facts were such that they made really serious difficulties for the 20 objections? You see where I'm going?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say. These 20, on the surface, they argue a resurrection.
Right.
But a person who's skeptical would say, well, sure, they argue a resurrection, but what about this? What about that?
Of course,
what about this?
Of course.
What if the what if these 12 facts and the data that support these 12 facts, never relying on inspiration, what if they could answer the 20 objections? Mm-hmm. What if you could say, well, I don't know, convince me Jesus was crucified. I'm really open, but convince me he was crucified. And if I gave you five reasons, six reasons, after a while I'd say, how many more do you need before you can admit he was crucified?
I mean, yeah, I'm right with you. I don't even want to argue with you on that. I just want to get straight to the resurrection.
That's what I would do. Yeah, okay. I would do. So in other words, I would use this list to argue not just that the resurrection is the apparent fact that follows from these things, but that this same list can eliminate other possibilities. And here's where my point a minute ago comes in.
Sure.
According to probability.
Okay,
I'm not claiming
exactly.
That I can...
So an option of many. Possibly.
Yes. Given several options,
right.
This is a good one. Those two are right. Not good ones.
But you think the resurrection is stronger than any naturalistic argument.
That's correct.
Okay, now I must say this as an aside before I forget, that however, historically, naturalistic explanations have always trumped supernaturalistic ones. Every time someone came out and said a supernatural thing has done something historically, science... You know, and looking at things from a naturalistic perspective, we discover, whoa, that's not true. Demons aren't causing illness. So, I mean, given the strength of that fact of human existence, that naturalism continues to demolish supernaturalistic explanations, why would we even feel that we need to go there with the Jesus story? Even I know what you're going to do here, Gary. You're going to ask me, okay, well, give me some naturalistic explanations, and then you're going to systematically go through, find problems
That's
with
right.
them, and find problems with those, and say why the resurrection makes more sense.
All right, let's just say for the sake of the argument, you and I live next door, and we watched a lot of football games together. And over those football games, you say, hey, I got a new one for you. What about this? What about that? And what would happen if, theoretically,
mm-hmm.
you came up over the space of 5 years, you came up with 20 possibilities, and you worked on these. I mean, you really honed these things.
Sure, okay.
And we hammered them, and football game's over, and we're still talking for a half hour, and we're wearing each other out. And
okay.
What would happen if at the end of those 5 years you admitted or you couldn't see a way
right.
to pick an alternative theory that accounts for the data?
Well, I mean, I would say that I guess I probably still don't know, but if your theory is just as ludicrous as anything else, I'd probably say, you know, I don't know, and I don't think you do either.
I
would say just because you have an explanation for something doesn't mean that it's true, because your explanation doesn't really make much sense either
okay.
in the scope of our experience.
Okay. Now, what would happen? You said just as ludicrous. What's your definition of that?
Oh, Jesus turning water into wine.
And why is it ludicrous?
There's nothing in our experience at all that can do that without fermentation, without additives, without doing some special chemical process to allow this to occur in a very naturalistic way. That's why. That goes beyond our scope of experience. So it is ludicrous. To that degree.
Okay.
It is something that's completely ridiculous. It's not something we experience every day. If we did, it'd become commonplace, and that would be part of our reality. That is
right.
something now, that is far beyond our reality.
Right. Now, one thing I would admit and acknowledge right off the bat, miracles by definition are rarer than natural events. They have to be by definition. If not, we'd have more miracles than not, and they wouldn't be very extraordinary.
Right.
If people walked on water every day, and I said, you, Jesus walked on water, you'd go, and?
Mm-hmm.
Because you've seen everybody do it.
Right.
But you can remember, this is the point at which you started out the show by saying, last time we were together, we got off the subject pretty quickly and never
yes.
got back. This is the point at which I'd have to go to some of those other things. But I would say, well, Reggie, what if,
mm-hmm.
what if over another football game next week, I said to you, well, I want to argue that many of those same things are going on in the world today, and they are not only happening, they have been
oh, of course. I mean,
checked out investigate. I mean miracles.
I'd say show me the documentation. I'd want to investigate it. I'd want an independent ability to go check it out. At least I need something, even forensically. I need something to give me some type of push in that direction.
Sure.
As anyone would with any claim that's out there, so to speak.
And that's exactly what I would have said to you if we reversed and you were the believer and I were back in my doubting days.
Right.
I'd say, hey, put up. Or shut up, man. You tell me. So
that's right.
I agree with you.
Of course.
But now the things I have in mind, the type of phenomena, I don't even want to mention them because the minute I mention them, someone's going to hop off on the phenomena and we'll never get back to the subject. But I'll just say that many of the same things, whether healings, whether prayers, whether life after death, there are some very, very select cases that are being written up today in different journals, including medical journals.
Of course. I mean, where people might not quite understand how someone might have come back after so long or things of that nature.
Well, for example,
that it's supernatural, though, just in case, just so you know. Because usually when you're dead, in our experience, when you're dead, you're pretty much dead.
Okay, there you go. That's a good one to hop onto right there. When we had this discussion on your show last time, Richard was saying, well, what in my current experience would allow me to think that these things, that I should even entertain these kind of supernatural
things? But those wouldn't be supernatural. Those would be naturalistic or something we just cannot quite understand right now. But we wouldn't think automatically that there was some supernatural force involved unless they already have some type of supernatural bias.
Okay.
Let me try
one on you. When you were telling me earlier what your general view is for or against God or Jesus or whatever, do you believe in an afterlife or not?
No, there's no evidence for it, as far as I have read.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what if, again, I'm very cautious about this because I don't want the rest of the program to be on this question.
Sure.
But what if we're having another football game here and we're sitting here watching and during every commercial we're muting this and we're going at it, arguing back and forth, and I'm saying to you, Reggie, listen, man, I've got X amount of cases, dozens, of highly evidenced near-death experiences which indicate that people have verifiable memories after their dead as dead can be. Now, let's just say for the sake of the argument, again, we have this.
I've looked at a couple of cases of that.
Let's say you listen, and I can tell you, because I have dozens of them. I have almost 100. Evidence cases, highly evidence cases. And let's say just because.
Well, I'm sorry, but if I was doing a sample of even more people who said they didn't experience anything, but maybe hear a few beeping noises now and again, I'm sure that would probably be in the millions.
Okay. But how many would you need? Okay. There are all kinds of reasons somebody might not remember anything. You could have had brain damage. You know, for example, heart attack patients very rarely have any memories. You know that, for example, after you have a heart attack, this is why it's so evidential.
Cerebral atrophy because of lack of blood flow.
And even worse, one of the latest things they found is if you have a heart attack, your brain stops working in 11 seconds. So if you have somebody who's at the 20, 30, 40, 50-second mark, which is not very far into a near-death experience, but if you have somebody who is at the one-minute dead mark, and they've had a real heart attack, I don't mean you're having some problems in your heart, but you had a real heart attack, they're brain dead. They're brain dead and heart dead. So if you can come back and tell me something at the one-minute mark, three-minute mark, five-minute mark, 10-minute mark, 40-minute mark, that's pretty interesting.
That is pretty interesting. And I would need to look at those cases individually to make a determination.
I got to be clear about this, too. The guy's not just coming back and saying, wow, I had a great experience, because you could say, yeah, nice dream, buddy, or you must have had a good meal for dinner or something, and it's had some lasting effects in your brain, you know. But I'm talking about people who see something. I'll just make a crazy case up. This isn't one of them, but to give you a crazy example, I'm lecturing in class,
and
you're in the sixth row, and you pass out, and it looks pretty serious, and they call the EMTs, and the guys come rushing in, and we know that you have a blank, whatever your problem is, at 4:21 p.m. in the afternoon, and they get you stabilized at 5:21 p.m. But during that time, you say, you know, it's kind of drifting up above my body here a little bit, and I was watching all you guys pounding that poor soul down there on the ground, and I kind of drifted just a few feet from here, and you know, there's an accident.
Very common.
Over here on the other side of the building, something that none of us in the room. Let's say there's no windows in the room, and you go, yeah, it's an accident on the other side of campus. This really, really dumb. This red car. I don't know if the person was talking on a cell phone or what, but they ran right through a stop sign and ran into this blue car. Well, you're out, and let's say they can tell that because, you know, let's say you've had a real heart attack. Let's say you're flat brain, flat heart.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And then we go to the campus police, and we get a police report. And let's say, you know, people report things, and they're not always 100% right. You know, you can have in a car accident in a court of law, you can have two conflicting witnesses. But let's say, generally, what you said was correct. A red car ran a stop sign, hit a blue car. That's a pretty interesting story for you to be telling me. Anyway, I give that as an example for this reason. As far as we know, you're out at that time. Now, there are some real complicated ones where people are on machines during these times, and there's no brain, no heart. And then they report something that happens two floors away in the waiting room where their loved ones are waiting for them. And they can tell something that goes on in the room. And when they come to, they report it, and they haven't even been reconnected with their family yet. And people can check it out. Now, there's hundreds of those.
Yeah, there are tons of stories like that. There are tons of stories of aliens anal probing people, too. I mean...
Well, that's true. But to me, some of the difference... Okay, aliens, to my knowledge, the alien stories, they don't get written up. The near-death experiences, as nearly as I can tell, they have been written up in 10 to 20 different medical journals today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't mean to get us off on the subject. All I'm saying is, back to the football game, you and I are talking.
Yes.
You just got done telling me you don't believe in the afterlife, and you go, hey, Gary, look at... You got these 20 facts, and all right, dude. I mean, you know, they point in the area of resurrection. But even if I can't give you a theory that makes sense, and you know, you've been shooting these things down for the last 5 years, and I appreciate that, but you still believe something ludicrous because things like that don't happen. And I say, Reggie, things like what? And you go, an afterlife? Afterlife? What's the resurrection? What's the primary thing about the resurrection? Afterlife? You said a minute ago, dead men don't do much. Well. If I said to you, well, Reggie, let's forget resurrection for a moment. Let's talk about near-death experiences. And let's say I can...
I guess this is taking...
Here I'm going.
I see where you're going this, but, I mean, of course, I mean, it's going to take some convincing for me to accept that I mean, a lot of the cases I've seen as well haven't been... You know, these are just people saying things after the fact, and it's hard to know when you're in that situation. Sometimes people... put puzzles, they put pieces together before they go under, and then they fill in the blanks when they come
sure.
to. And so it's just
wouldn't know about the car accident outside that happened while they were out.
Well, but who okay, look, for instance, if
you
they,
can't put that puzzle together.
Actually, you can, because they can be dreaming about something that's similar, and then if they go outside and they see an image that's similar to the dream, then they'll fill in the blanks because there was a lot of broken images, but we love to fill in the story. And so they'll go, oh my gosh, you know, I was just seeing this when I was up there. No, not exactly. What you saw was a man looking up into the sky, and you saw a car on top of a woman. You go outside, you found it's actually a woman in the car, and there's a midget on the phone, and there's like, you know, a Stay Puft Marshmallow Man float. But they don't, and this happens so much, it's this false kind of memory. There are too many cases of this for me to accept out-of-body experiences. But, I mean, if unfortunately
what
this cannot be done in any controlled scientific way, if it could be,
actually,
then I'd be more...
Actually, a couple have been. It's really interesting. But
okay, we'll talk about that then, I guess. I mean, okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's for another show. But all I'm saying is if we were to sit here and go back to our football game illustration, and I just got you to the point where you at least were open to an afterlife.
It's difficult for me though, Gary, because of contradictory, you know, arguments and evidence that for those positions, and so that's why I know it is not. There hasn't been enough evidence for me to accept
right.
that. I agree with you though. If the afterlife
right.
was
right.
proven to be true, then that still doesn't even really give any credence to the resurrection either, though.
Okay, let's
that would give
together.
More
let's
credence
say,
to the ascension, but not the resurrection.